I like the opening to the second reading from Paul to Philemon. I'll kind of like to use it today. He goes, this is Paul writing, an old man now. Well, this is Richard speaking, an old man now. The readings today will be very challenging for those who might take things rather literally. Because if I look at it, particularly the gospel, in order to be a disciple of Jesus, a disciple means to follow. A follower of Jesus means first we've got to hate one's family, we've got to carry a cross and give up everything we own. No wonder there are empty seats down the front here. It's not all that appealing, is it, when we put it in that very simplistic language. But as always, I try to put things in their historic and scriptural context for you and for myself, because otherwise we go away saying, that doesn't make sense to me. And we don't want that. We want to go away saying, I've got to apply that in my life. And how do I do that? I don't want you leaving here this morning hating your mother and father and brother and sister and wives, your dogs, your cats, your guinea pigs. I don't want you hating anything. So let's understand firstly what the word hate means in biblical language, particularly the Aramaic or the language that Jesus spoke. In the Western world, where we live, we're used to using the word love opposing the word hate, or the word hate opposing the word love. It is language in the Western world which is attached to a feeling, which is reflective of our view of another person. If we say we love somebody in our language, in our Western language, it means it's almost an attachment of the heart. And if I hate somebody in our Western language, it means repulsion. It is a rejection. And it even leads to hostility, as we know in the world. That's not biblical hate or biblical love. Biblical love, in the language of Jesus, really is reflected in the sense that it's an obligation to fulfill the relationship that I have with the individual. And hate, therefore, becomes a lesser obligation. So it's got nothing to do with an emotional feeling. It has to do with my role and relationship and how I live that out. I say that because when in Luke's gospel, Jesus had just left a meal with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He'd just left there under criticism. And when he left, a whole bunch of people were following him. And then he turns to them and he says, if you want to be a follower of mine, then this is what you've got to be prepared to do. So let's go back into the meal, the house, the very house where Jesus was eating. In his time, men, whether you were single or married, you lived with your father. So if you did get married, you would bring your bride into the father's house and you lived under the same roof as the father. Even with your single brothers, you lived there. The women went and lived with their father-in-law when they married. So the relationship that took place under that roof was hugely important. It cemented the family. It also therefore cemented the income and the social standing of that family. So the meal in a family setting in Jesus' time was about consolidating the family and consolidating the economy for that family. So if you removed yourself from the family, you lost your income. You lost your social status as well. So he's saying here, unless, he uses the word hate, but unless you have a lesser obligation to your family than what you do to God, then there's no point following me, because your relationship is always going to be attached to that roof where you're getting your income from, because it's attached to the family. And if you want to give that up to follow me, well, then you will know what I mean by everyone has a cross to bear. You take up your cross, the second point of his words this morning. Because once you cut off your economy and your social contact, you are without an income, and you are without the support, that huge social strength that comes from family support. You are going to be cut off in that sense. So the solution, therefore, is to bring the family with you. You don't have to cut them off. We come together. That's the solution. But what prevents us from doing that very often, he is saying as we unpack his words, is the things that we value, the things that we think are important in our life, what we would call possessions. It is those things that actually possess us, that stop us from following in the footsteps of Jesus himself. Now, those things might be material things. They might be what we would say are the wealth in our life, all of those trimmings and all the stuff that we have. Good word, stuff. It means nothing, yet it means everything. From stuff, we could get the word stumble. It is the stuff in our life that makes us stumble, makes us fall. And when we're flat on our face, we can't get much lower. And it's when we start to pick ourselves up or somebody picks us up that we actually get a clearer insight. It is the stuff in our life, what in Jesus' language he's calling possessions, that clouds our view, clouds our vision, clouds our relationships with God and very often with other people, because it leads to envy, it leads to jealousness, it leads to people working so hard that they spend all their time getting stuff but spending no time with their family. And it is very complicated and it's very hard in the Western world, because the Western world seems to judge success by the amount of stuff we have. Jesus simply says, ditch the stuff. It's not going to be easy. Don't ditch your family. He says, get the priority, get your obligations right with your family. Your first love is love of God. And make sure that your family know that you love God. And if your family can see that in you, they will see and experience a very beautiful, loving, generous person who is not held up by stuff, by possessions. Now, in this life, of course, we've all got complications. We've all got our cross to bear, whether it be psychological, physical, it might be mental health, it might be addictive behaviour, it might be any sort of thing. It might be cranky parents, cranky in-laws. It might be a Singaporean assistant priest. That's not true. He's not a cross to bear. It can be anything. And quite often, it seems to me, we create our own crosses. Life will certainly give us a cross, but Jesus gives us the courage. And courage from Jesus equals grace. So we can say, yep, Jesus will give us the grace, the courage to carry our crosses, which life gives us. Our task, therefore, is, as followers of Christ, to make sure that we never, ever increase the burden, the cross, that those around us carry. That's our task. And we do that by getting our priorities right in our relationships and in the way that we view and live in the world. The value that we put on people and on things. Get those priorities right. Life will give us our cross, as I said, but Jesus gives us the courage, the grace to carry it.